Endo.
Chicharro del cráneo.
Endo. How's the flat hunting going?
Yeah, nice place down in Mitcham. Need a bit more room. The only problem was it was a basement flat.
Okay.
But in this instance, with the basement upstairs.
How's the basement upstairs?
Well, it is upstairs. It's like it's been converted to look like upstairs, but it's clearly a basement. So it operates as a basement might do for like storage and, you know. But it's upstairs, you know. When you look out of the window, it's a clear sunny day. But when you open that window, you're kind of staring into like somebody's allotment or something. It's very, very dark.
How do you go downstairs to get into it or upstairs to get into it?
I don't know. He sort of left me to my own devices. It was a bit weird, really.
What was your decision whether to go up or down?
It's really hard to explain because when you open a door and yes. There's the staircase,
right.
It's like, yes, very clearly you're walking upwards, but on the other hand, are you? You get the benefit of natural light, but the security of being underground. I think it's for people with like really very, very serious emotional problems.
And we're welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi, and welcome to another Brain Cigar.
Yeah. How's everyone out there? Hope you're all doing well.
Absolutely. What have you been up to, Pete?
Working, as ever. Getting the house ready to move out.
Of course.
Yeah. All that kind of British
major
heart.
Operation. Yeah. Do not envy that.
I got the British Heart Foundation came yesterday and took a load of furniture away.
Well, what are they going to do with it?
I don't know. It was a bit weird because I never arranged for them to come. They just showed up.
That's not the van with the little revolving heart on the top.
Mm-hmm.
I think you may have been scammed, I hate to say it.
They said they needed the computer and my wallet. Is that, I don't know.
What, under the guise of getting furniture?
Yeah, they said you booked us to come and take stuff away to sell in our furniture store. I mean, and I don't know, in the heat of the moment, it's all a bit rushed and the guy was very agitated.
No.
And I said, I'm not sure my wallet is furniture as such.
Well,
he said it's a small pillow.
No, is that what they were after? Yeah.
And then I forgot to walk Akari yesterday. She's meant to get an hour's walk.
Can't she do it herself?
Know? And I was about to take her out and they started pissing down with the rain. You know, it was like last night.
No, I got caught in that, yeah.
And so...
Some of it was rain anyway.
Yeah, you know. And the poor little thing, she just follows me around the house. She's got this expectant look on her. I mean, you know, who knows what they're thinking, but she was kind of, you know...
So what did you do in the end?
Well, I took one of those walking pills. A vet's prescribed. I give the dog one, I take the other one, then I go for a walk on my own. They make you a bit drowsy, but it's the only way Cara gets a walk, unfortunately.
Does she go with you?
No, if you'd been listening. Sorry, I'm not meaning to be aggressive. I take the pill, the walking pill. It's called Ribulev, and I go on the walk on my own.
You leave her at home?
Yes, Jess.
Presumably
you know that a dog needs to be walked about an hour a day.
I suppose.
So if I take the walking pill and I leave Cara at home and I go out and I take the walk, then Cara gets a walk. Is there a problem with this? How else is she going to get a walk?
Don't really think it matters.
How else is she going to get a walk?
I mean, get a fish. Hello, and welcome again to Brain Cigar, an
ambulance
production brought to you this week in association with Sweet Mercies, chutneys and preservatives. Just like Grandma used to make in a convincing accent. Not sure I was supposed to read all of that bit out, actually.
You were.
Okay.
So you have some, right?
Mango, orange and hemp. Want to try?
Yeah, it looks a bit of an odd colour, but yeah, do you know what? You're okay.
It's nice. I've just had some. They asked us to say that UK listeners can get hold of some by ordering from Sweet Mercies, PO Box 184, The Quadrant, Lagos, Nigeria.
Nigeria? How much is that going to cost them?
Well, true, yeah. It's 27 quid per jar with the postage and packing. But they'll do 3 for 75.
They're charging 75 quid for a pot of jam?
Three pots.
Wait a minute.
Have you
chill? They sent us these.
Have you got a load of them back there?
I'm trying to explain to you. Look, they sent us these two as part of the deal. The other ones, tomato and treacle zinger.
What?
Not tried that yet. Yeah. Not sure I ever will.
Jesus, man! I mean, God, Jess, you got to stop this. You keep fucking spending. It's a Nigeria of all places. This might not even be.
They paid us 60 quid. What difference does it make where they're based? I mean, what have you come up with so far? That office stationery supplier in Bruges.
Profil. This is a bit irritating, actually, because they were nice guys, and at least it's part of the same continent. Well, sort of.
Who cares if they're nice guys? I mean, yeah, big deal. They didn't stump up any money.
Yeah, but all right, but look at the printer paper we've got now. We've got a lot of printer paper.
Oh, great. That'll really keep the podcast afloat. I mean,
60 quid. How much did you spend on the chutney?
When you order from Sweet Mercy's, you'll need to provide three forms of identification.
How much did you spend on the chutney?
Three forms of identification and a recent passport.
I must press you on this. How much did you spend on the chutney?
They've given us these. You need to provide three forms of identification and a recent passport style photo.
What? It's chutney. What the fuck? Why would you need to... is this real? Are you dicking...
Yeah. It says here.
Three forms of identification.
And a recent passport-style photo.
To buy some chutney?
Yeah.
Why would you need to do that?
They gave us some money. They gave us...
60 quid.
60 quid.
Oh, great. We're...
Okay, well, you try paying the studio with half a ream of bloody foolscap.
It's completely affordable, this studio.
No, I know,
We don't need to get involved in international chutney deals.
Well, look, it's not really our problem, is it?
Okay, on with the show.
Ambulance.
Daddy, where are my cigarettes? Oh.
Okay, time for our next guest. And this is genuinely a little bit more sad and serious than we would normally do on Brain Cigar.
Yeah.
But it's in a very, very good cause. Heather Woodley runs the charity Loneliness Action UK. If you live in London, you'll no doubt have seen their posters on the tube or heard their ads on the radio. LAUK, Lork.
Oh, it's Lork. It's Lork. It's like it's sort of Swedish sounding. It's not Swedish. It's British, but it is Lork.
I'm sorry. I mean, you could just say LAUK.
Well, Lark's a bit quicker, and it's a big problem, so we have to really get to the salient points as quickly as we can.
Okay. I mean, some would argue that you've just spent some time...
I think she makes a fair point. Let's press on.
Okay, then. Lark. Lark are out there constantly taking action against loneliness. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Peter.
I think the honour is completely ours. Not that your work really needs explaining, but can you just remind our listeners of some of the amazing work that you've done over the past few years?
Well, like you say, Peter, Lark are always active raising awareness of loneliness, which can often be crippling and even fatal, especially amongst the elderly, the disabled people, the unemployed. Even successful people who you'd expect to be happy and fulfilled often work very, very long hours and they come back to an empty home. And we don't just raise awareness. We've got a thriving outreach program doing what we can for elderly, disabled, housebound people, going and cooking for them, mowing a lawn for them, going shopping for them, that kind of thing. Often just a cup of tea with a lonely person can transform their day. Yeah. We've all got sort of fundraising events all through the year, and our shops raised over £4 million last year in the southeast alone.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's really impressive. So what drew you to this cause?
Well, Peter, my father suffered terribly from loneliness. He passed away at the age of 88, a kind, lovely, generous man who would do anything for anyone.
Mm-hmm. Right, and if you don't mind me asking, how did he pass away?
Suicide.
Oh, gosh, I'm
very sorry.
Really sorry to hear that.
It's only by bringing these sort of painful experiences into the daylight that we can really confront them and help others.
Yes, of course, yes. How did things end up that way for your father?
Who knows?
Be so lonely.
The poor man was alone all day, sometimes for weeks, even months on end, and not seeing a single soul. Very few visitors ever really. I mean, that awful solitude can tear a person's soul apart.
Right. Well, when you say he had few visitors, I mean, you mean, like, apart from you and other family members?
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I hardly ever went to see him.
Well, why? Did he live a long way away, or what?
He was about three doors away.
What?
Jez, I think what Jez is trying to figure out here is, I'm guessing life gets very busy for you. You've got work, kids, school, all that kind of thing.
No, I'm actually single, Peter.
A pet? Or?
No, thank you. I see those poor, desperate people out with their dogs standing behind the hairy little rector with a dirt bag at the ready as the disgusting animal forces out another feces.
I think we're a bit just thrown here. You didn't go and see him?
No.
Were other family members able to visit him?
Well, my sister went whenever she could. She would drop by at Easter, Christmas, pop a card through the letterbox.
Right, and where did she live?
With me.
Fuck's sake. Look, I'm struggling with this a bit. I mean, you both lived three doors away from your father, but basically never visited him?
Correct. I mean, just so sad. Such awful, desperate pain that he must have felt.
Can you just help us out here, okay? Your father, I'm guessing you didn't know he was lonely? Was he like, was he somebody who didn't want to worry you? You weren't aware until it was too late? That's why you started Loneliness Action UK? Like, you started Louk?
No!
So you knew that the guy was suffering?
Oh, yes. He never stopped talking about it, calling me up, turning up on my doorstep, ringing the doorbell. Oh, Heather, I'm so sad. Please let me in, Heather, just for a few minutes.
Sorry, but this is Jess, disgraceful.
Jess, please.
This is bullshit. I'm sorry. Why didn't you go and see him?
Because for some people, loneliness is incurable, and my father was one of those people.
What?
To let him in, I mean, it's just getting his hopes up. It would be like telling somebody with cancer, just pop this paracetamol and you'll be fine. No, they won't.
I think that's the stupidest comparison I've ever heard. Loneliness is curable instantly. You go and see the person. You do all this stuff for lonely people, so you say.
Amazing stuff.
But why not go and see your own desperately lonely father?
That which does not kill us makes us stronger. Visiting him wouldn't have helped. You can't just go showing up on his doorstep without warning. He didn't have a phone. He kept calling us, so we had it disconnected.
Believe this.
You just said he was very sad and he wouldn't stop talking about it.
That was just the loneliness talking.
Yes, it was just the loneliness talking.
What's the longest you went without visiting him?
2 years.
Two fucking years?
2 years.
And you lived two doors away?
Three doors. I thank you to do your research.
Look, all those times he knocked on your door, couldn't you just have let him in just for a cup of tea?
He didn't like tea.
Coffee?
I didn't have any coffee.
Buy some fucking coffee.
Look, who is the professional dealing with loneliness here?
That is not the point.
The science is in on this one. For some people, visiting them is the worst thing you can do. If an alcoholic is begging for a bottle of wine, do you give it to them? No. Visiting some people, spending time with them, is the worst thing you can do. You're feeding the monster. Like all this aid to Africa. It's destroyed the place.
How?
Now they're all fat.
This is bloody ridiculous. I think you need to leave. I think we're done here.
You need to get out.
We're done here.
Just get out. Please leave. Don't look at me like that, please. Please leave. Please go.
Right, hang on, who's this? Sorry, can we help you?
It's my husband, Stephen Foley.
What?
What? Who?
That's right. Shan't be leaving. Been together 32 years. Shan't be leaving. Supporting Heather in her endeavours. Shan't be leaving, sir. No, sir. Now, to the matter of my wife's expenses, I shan't be leaving.
Wait a minute, you said you were single, for a start.
Yes.
And what expenses? We never agreed to expenses.
She did. Shan't be leaving.
She did.
Hotel, two nights, meals, a show.
A show?
Shan't be leaving, sir.
Thank you, Stephen Foley.
That's okay, my lover. Shan't be leaving.
Why does he keep saying shan't be leaving?
Well, we're not leaving. It's our podcast, so we can just wait.
I don't care about that. I come down here, you're invited down. The whole thing, I got to say to you, I've been very disappointed from day one.
Day one?
Day one, yeah. Well, I came earlier than my wife.
He always goes ahead of me.
It's just something that we do, that's all.
I'm sorry?
It's something that we do.
If we go on holiday, he'll always go before me.
Yeah.
Everything. Does everything before me.
I thought lots of people did that.
You need to get out of here, I think.
Get out. Get out of here.
Peter.
Shan't be leaving.
Get out.
Peter.
Daddy, the light is on. Look at that.
Ambulance.
Okay, as you've no doubt become familiar with over these past few shows, around this time we need to break for another excerpt from, The Architecture of Bacon. Anyway, part of the deal with getting this podcast out there is that we share space with...
John Church. Throat.
John Church, otherwise known as Throat. I mean, this autobiography, it's like remained unpublished since at least 1991. I'm really not sure they think he's likely to be remotely interested in this stuff.
I think best just at this stage just to crack on with it, yeah.
I suppose so. The Architecture of Bacon, everybody.
My career treading the boards was somewhat curtailed by a brusque young director called Cheesehurst, who suggested that my treading of said boards was a tad suspect. Now, said gentleman, Cheesehurst, went on to cause something of a hoo-ha when, having already vetoed my attempts to secure Alan Quatermain, then halted rehearsal proceedings to suggest that my Captain Good also left more than a little to be desired. I didn't know where to put myself. As events unfolded, I found myself reduced to the role of a questionably clad second Zulu, which created a little more public mirth than perhaps might have been anticipated. After leaving me for some months in wardrobe, it was finally decided that I might seek other activities entirely. I therefore found myself kicking my heels around St. Albans, and one should never do that. One should never kick one's heels around St. Albans. Take that out. Having secured myself a position at Morgan Brothers Gentlemen's Outfitters, I took rooms on Lower Frog Street, just above Mr. News in Tenby. I discovered Mr. News to be very conveniently located for the majority of my particular needs. I've always fancied that one's needs should remain of paramount import. If one were to ignore a need, then it might perchance return at a later date and collar one rather unexpectedly. Lose that.
I would have thought.
Now for rock memories. This week, myself and Jez discussed Bowie Dinners, David Bowie's early 90s range of microwavable frozen meals. Well, towards the end of the 80s, I mean, things weren't going so well for him, were they?
Well, there was a tin machine, to be honest. Not that well received, I suppose. Those frozen meals, Bowie Dinners. Made by Findus or Ross or someone like that, but with his name.
Jesus, Bowie Dinners. I mean, this is David Bowie. He's like classy, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they were very short-lived. I don't think that many people remember them, really. Did you ever have one?
Well, I had to try it, Bowie fan that I was. I mean, you know. I found a couple of them at Stop and Shop. Remember that place?
Yeah, Stop and Shop. Our price, their price.
Their price, that's yeah, it. Yeah, yeah. You couldn't get them in Sainsbury's or any regular supermarket.
B-Jam, I think you can.
I think they were too low budget even for B-Jam, you know. But it had the little Bowie logo. Yeah. It was him with the Aladdin Sane mm-hmm. hairdo. Like, really badly done. You know, the colours are all out of register and what have you. And
yeah, the name underneath with yes. the fucking Ziggy Flash. Yeah, you remember that Bowie on the box? Dinners.
No, I do, yeah, yeah. God. I mean, God almighty.
God, I mean, to think he approved it.
Apparently.
What one did you try? Was it like one of those Chicken Supreme or like...
I had the fish pie one. Ah. Came with broccoli.
What was it like?
It came in like one of those airline meal compartment type things. You know, the main, the side. Some of them even had a dessert. God. Mine had an apple cobbler.
God, it's funny to think I'd never realised you'd actually bought one.
I think most of it was stuck to the carton.
How long ago was this again?
I don't know, about 92, 93.
How did he even get him to be in the ads? I mean, I know he'd signed off on the product.
That wasn't him in the ads.
Yeah, it was. I remember the ads very clearly. Yeah, it was. It was like you see him walking into his kitchen, like, I'm David Bowie, after a difficult... I sound like Mick Jagger. It was like more... I'm David Bowie. After a difficult day at the studios, I need something quick.
Yes, but you don't seriously reckon that was him, sure.
Yes.
One of those ads is still on YouTube. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think it's Bowie's voice. Yeah. But notice how you only ever see him from behind. He's getting out of his limo, opening the back door.
Exactly, that was him. No. You saw him getting out of the ad with the hair and everything.
Of course it bloody well wasn't him. It was an actor.
David Bowie was an actor. He was like a chameleon, wasn't he? It was him. He was a good
fuck's
actor.
For sake, look at it on YouTube.
I don't need to.
The guy's shoulders. He's about twice Bowie's size. I mean, you know, why would someone like David Bowie want to do that?
Well, he made the bloody dinners.
He didn't make them as such. He just put his name to the product.
It was him in the ads. It must have been.
For God's sake, of course it wasn't.
Why do you find that so weird for him to be in the ads?
What?
Paul Newman was in his own salad dressing ad.
What? No, he's just on the bottle.
He was in the ads.
No, he wasn't. Why would these multi-millionaire megastars need to do their own ads?
Henry Cooper did the Brute ads and...
No,
I remember...
he just promoted the product. It wasn't called Henry Cooper's Brute.
You don't know that.
Well, I do, yeah.
I'm sure that was Bowie in the ads.
For Christ's sake.
In the ads for Bowie dinners, it was David Bowie in the ads.
Look at the guy's hands in the pack shop. Like a bloody bricky.
Well, he famously had very big hands.
No, he didn't.
I think if you play the guitar and you write a lot of songs, you develop big hands. The muscles just develop in the hands. God, though. After a difficult day in the studio.
It was a tough day.
Oh, God, so pedantic. After a tough day in the studio.
Bowie dinners.
It was him in the ads.
Fucking wasn't.
Daddy, I hope that... I hope that... Oh.
All right, just about got time for a few listings before we close. Jez, what have we got?
A lot of music worth checking out this week. Those of you in the Clapham area, Blasmo's Love Lab have reformed after 28 years and are on at the Grand on Saturday next.
Wow, the Love Lab. Still the original lineup.
Well, no, not all of them. Apparently, just reading the press release, sax player Desmond the Duckbill Splendor developed some kind of shin infection during a 2004 solo tour of Uruguay. Died in 2009. Two of the synth players are still on board, though.
Oh, good to know, good to know. Also at the Grand on Wednesday the 18th, Torrible Chudney will be performing what the blurb here describes as spoken word and a tempting if limited selection of antipasti.
Great. If you're around the Fulham area on the 22nd, look out for the Straight Roy Rogers previewing his forthcoming solo album, I'm Not 40s. That's at the Greyhound.
Well, don't want to be missing that.
That it?
Yep, for now.
You've been listening to Brain Cigar. An
ambulance
production.